all that our Lord said, why would these things be kept in the Gospels? And why, of all the material in Matthew's Gospel, would these be kept when other things are not? Because we don't read every line of Matthew's Gospel in the liturgy. Why would that be? And why would it come down to us so that on August 30th, 2006, Jesus would preach these words to us today? What's the point of it? Why, do you think? You know, suppose you were the preacher today and you have to break this word of God, this bread. What would you say? How terrible the scribes and Pharisees are? And they're dead. They've been judged by Christ. This is for us, isn't it, somehow? So why don't we look at it for a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to come and enlighten us. Our Lord's words are directed against those who don't strive for deep interior love of truth. It says in Psalm 51, indeed you love truth in the heart. Then in the secret of my heart, teach me wisdom. God must be anxious to touch that taproot of lie and change it. And he inspires us with prayers like that one in Psalm 51. And you can feel our Lord's animus against this sort of stuff. Now, how would it apply to us? Well, do we really embrace the truth in the depth of our being and live it? Can the Lord really bring us to a point where we allow the truth, all the truth in? Now, of course, the truth about ourselves, but the truth about Him as the living source of how we act, to know Him. Huh? I live now, not I. Christ lives in me. And this is a call to that, to lay aside all the untruth in our own being, to lay it aside, to bring it to the cross, and to be truthful in the depth of our being. In the secret of my heart, teach me wisdom. So how does it start? It starts with a real honest examination of conscience every day. Now, an examination of conscience is not several things. One, it's not a search and destroy mission. And that comes often from our own lack of a proper self-love. Wherever that comes from, you know, who knows. But you see, as St. Augustine says, if you don't love yourself, you're not going to go to trouble for yourself. But your salvation depends on going to some trouble. So you have to learn how to love yourself rightly. Now, for most of us, that also begins with a grace, allowing the Lord to show us His love for us. Now, there are steps that He has to take in our lives to bring us to the point where we're able to grasp this and embrace the truth. And, as it says in Alcoholics Anonymous, make a fearless inventory of our life. But that fearless inventory, at this level, is a work of love. Love the truth. Love the truth. And see, throughout the day, all the movements inside of ourselves that are from falsehood, from lie, from the lack of a vision of who our neighbor is. And so, this, in the secret of my heart, teach me wisdom, means that we allow the Lord to bring us to the secret of our heart so that he can give us this wisdom. Obviously, then, this means a serious interior life, really interacting with Jesus, having the time for this, fighting for the time for this. Otherwise, how can he talk to us? If we're in the car and the radio's going and we're home and we're watching the TV, we're reading the newspaper, or we're chatting and having fun, and I mean, that's part of life. But when it's constant, then this happens. And there's not truth in the depth of our being. Jesus wants truth there. And if we allow him, he will speak words of truth there that liberate us. Liberate us. But the overriding drive of our deepest self, our taproot, has got to be in union with Jesus and to want Jesus to be the very source of our life. I live now, not I. Christ lives in me. This is not some sort of poetical metaphor. This is the essence of heaven, beginning already here, that Christ lives in me. This is it's a work of the Holy Spirit to bring this about. So, what's the biggest obstacle? I think it's two. One, distraction. We've talked about this before. See? And the other is a lack of, especially forgiveness, but a lack of purity of heart. The distraction. As you know, I was just in Ireland. And, in Dublin's Dublin. Like, any place. But then, just an hour or two outside of Dublin, you're back in a world which is very different. The air is fresh, for one thing. But not just the physical air, the spiritual air. The number of just God's favorite kind of folk trying to live their life, trying to give everything to God, having problems, fighting with one another, but a presupposition about the transcendence of God, about his lordship over our lives and all of creation, about his love and about his law. It's just there. And it's gone from our whole society. And, unless those people pray hard, it'll be gone from them after a couple of generations. But it's still there, and often the further west you go, the greater it is. Though the assault on Ireland is, let me tell you, it's demonic. To blot that out, to blot out this inner sense of God. And, of course, though they have radios and TVs and things, but they're not hanging around them. It's still a farming part of the world, and so they're working. And when you live on a farm, you don't work from 9 to 5 and then drive home. It's all around you, all the time. Now, we're not going to go live on a farm, but we do have to have the grace to overcome this self-preoccupation. And to give our hearts to God. To learn from Jesus. I would recommend for those of you who have them that you really read those volumes that are coming out, The Direction for Our Times. If you read them every day, you hear Jesus. And after a while, you can catch the tone of his voice. And when you catch the tone of his voice, then the other obstacle starts to diminish, huh? Which is the lies we tell ourselves about ourselves. You know, really what's wrong with me is my mother dropped me on my head when I was two. That's my basic problem. No, my basic problem is I'm a sinner. That's my basic problem. Now, I might have been wounded on the way up, but Jesus can take care of that. The depth of what we're after is this overriding desire for Jesus. And it means that we go to some trouble. We love ourselves enough to go to some trouble, to deny ourselves some sleep, some food, some distractions, some, so that we have time to be with Jesus. That's the heart of it. Jesus himself has to be the environment, the culture, the reading, the preaching, the, because it's all gone. In this world, with all its mess, Jesus himself is raising up a people. A people. He's raising them up himself. And when you meet them, you see such purity of heart, such joy in real life. Real life. Husband leaves, kids sick. Real life. Lose a job. Something deeper going on that brings all that into the mystery of sharing in our own being what is wanting to the sufferings of Christ. And I think that's why this text was preached to us today by Jesus. It's an invitation. Please come and live the truth. Please come and listen to me. Pay attention to me. And as I say, one of the powerful ways that this is accomplished in the lives of thousands and thousands of people right now is listening to these words that Jesus spoke through this woman, Anne. They do touch lives. I mean, by the thousands. And it's a way. It's a way to return to the scriptures and be fed by this living, powerful life, so that we begin to so hunger and thirst for Jesus that we start to tell the truth to ourselves and live the truth and be incessant with it, and then go to some trouble for Jesus.